Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
I believe as human beings, as a superpower, we have an obligation to stop genocide that's possibly to happen in Libya. Also, we have an obligation to make this world a better place by ending dictators, mostly in Africa and the Middle East, because they distort free market and the principle of justice. So I think we have an overall obligation as human beings to deploy. In the absence of that, I think the world will turn into chaotic. It will cost us more.
There's Alan, a talk radio person from Dallas, who says that the U.S. has an obligation to get involved in Libya. That's where we start. Libya is the focus at the beginning of this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen. Over on Fox, Bill Hemmer talked to Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, who doesn't like the way the president is handling the situation in Libya one bit.
What's the problem going after Gaddafi?
Well, here it is, and I'm going to read this, and then I'll tell you who said it. The president does not have power under the Constitution to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve stopping an actual or imminent threat to the nation. Now, that was Barack Obama who said that on December the 20th, 2007. We've got to be very sure here that we follow the Constitution, and President Obama didn't do that.
Well, even if Congress came back and voted on it, would it pass?
And, you know, it's after the fact now. I mean, there's a serious matter here that relates to the president going ahead, ordering a strike against Libya, and not involving the Congress. And your guests have talked about the cost. We're probably into this for $500 million already. And then you think about there's no imminent threat. There's no end game. They're still after regime change. We could be strengthening Islamic extremists who could be setting up camp in eastern Libya. There are people who want to divide that nation. This is a nightmare.
Well, you know, if the bloodshed did happen, let's say the massacre that some predicted took place, the United States would have significant blood on its hands. Is that justifiable enough for you?
Well, you know, when you talk about blood on our hands, there's blood being shed all over the world, and we can't control it. We cannot be the policemen of the world. As tragic as the situations are across the world, the United States cannot afford, nor do we have the authority, to go and intervene. Now, you look at Bahrain and Yemen. Excuse me. I mean, there's things happening there that somebody who wanted to talk about a humanitarian war could try to use that principle to intervene. But no, in this case, though, the president had to go back to Congress. He didn't do that. He went ahead anyway without having a vote.
Well, you know the history of Muammar Gaddafi, and you know what a threat he has posed to the United States in the past. And we are told that had we not acted now, a massacre would take place in Benghazi.
You know, that's horrible. But there's no actual or imminent threat to the United States. He should have come to Congress. If this is so grave, Congress was still in session. The president could have said, wait, don't go home. I've got to talk to you about what's happening here. I may need your approval. This is about the Constitution. And if we don't abide by our Constitution, everything falls apart here. This is about the Constitution. It's not about whether you like President Obama or not. I like President Obama. But I love the Constitution.
Well, the other thing that's going on right now is all the matters in our own country. You know, when it comes to cutting the debt and the deficit and the debates that you and I have had on this program for months, if not years ongoing.
Well, that's certainly something that is going to be discussed by many members of Congress. Look, if we don't have enough money to be able to have home heating in some parts of our nation, if we don't have enough money for education and health programs, or for creating jobs, how is it we have endless amounts of money for war? I mean, I've raised this question over and over and will continue to do so, but I want to make it very clear that my objections about this start right with the Constitution. Under Article 1, Section 8, only Congress has the power to take this nation into war unless there's an actual or imminent threat to the United States in which the president doesn't have time to consult with Congress.
Coming up, some journalists are wondering why the news media seems fine with our involvement in the no-fly zone, while one former presidential candidate wants Mr. Obama tried for war crimes. That when the countdown continues.
When you're considering buying your first home, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. Come by Wells Fargo today and we'll sit with you, answer all your questions, and work with you step by step through the process of buying your first home. A Wells Fargo Priority Buyer Pre-Approval lets real estate agents and sellers know you're a serious buyer because you're credit approved. That way, you'll be ready to go out and make an offer with confidence. Call, click, or stop by Wells Fargo today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank N.A., Equal Housing Lender.
Guys, remember when you were 18 with boundless energy and the stamina to do anything, anytime? Wish you could have the testosterone of your teenage years with the experience and skill you have today? Now you can with Progene Daily Complex. Progene is an all-natural herbal supplement that helps men naturally produce more testosterone. Right now, you too can try a free month's Progene supply absolutely free. 800-690-9738. Supplies are limited. 800-690-9738. 800-690-9738. Shipping and processing fees apply.
I just saved on my favorite
diapers, so I bought my baby a new
chainsaw, and they marked down the best nail
polish, two for the price of one.
People love to talk about great deals, and if you talk to your neighbors, some of them are bound to tell you about State Farm. Thanks to discounts of up to 40%, switching to State Farm could save you hundreds. No wonder 40 million drivers trust State Farm. That's more drivers than Geico and Progressive combined. So ask a neighbor, then go to discountdoublecheck.com or call 1-800-STATE-FARM.
Discount percentage and availability may vary by state.
It's Macy's Men's Wardrobe Sale. Designer suits, buy one, get one free. Take 40% off the Alfani Red Collection. Designer dress shoes are $79.99 to $99.99. Dress shirts and ties now 40% off. And save 30 to 50% on sportswear. Plus, save an extra 20 or 15% with your savings pass. Macy's Men's Wardrobe Sale. Going on now. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Which brings us to the final round. If you are what you eat, then what am I?
Pasta puttanesca.
Correct. Mary had a little lamb. What was its name?
Lamar?
Correct.
Thank you.
What can you now watch instantly with Netflix?
Oh, unlimited TV episodes?
Correct.
Oh, I don't...
Watch unlimited episodes of your favorite TV shows and movies instantly through your game console or other devices. All for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Live from Progressive.
It's time for Tips from Flo.
Tips from Flo.
Here's a tip about our loyalty program.
Loyalty program.
The savings don't stop when you switch. You're automatically enrolled on day one, and you keep earning great discounts and benefits. And it's free.
It's free.
Are you just repeating everything I say?
Kinda.
Rewarding loyalty. Now that's Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Cumulative benefits are limited. Not available in all states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is the Talk Radio Countdown program. I'm Doug Steffen on CNN. Howard Kurtz talked to a panel of journalists, including Rome Hartman from the BBC, a veteran NBC correspondent Fred Francis, and former Pentagon correspondent Jimmy McIntyre, about how quickly the news media has seemed to embrace our involvement in Libya.
The media get excited by war. The journalistic adrenaline starts pumping as we talk about warships and warplanes and cruise missiles. We put up the maps that we have the retired generals on. And sometimes something is lost in that initial excitement. Reminds me of 8 years ago, this very weekend, when shock and awe was rained down upon Baghdad and the media utterly failed to ask skeptical questions. So I looked at my New York Times this morning, went through all the sections. I looked at my Washington Post this morning, I looked through all the sections. Didn't see any skeptical articles, columns, editorials about this no-fly zone decision. Two fine newspapers, don't see the skeptical questions. What if there's a long-term stalemate here? What if this goes on and on? What if there are American casualties? Do you stop this operation with Gaddafi still in power? These are the questions I think we need to be asking. Where are the skeptical questions?
Well, I think that it's natural, as you suggested, that at the very outset of something, the operational questions do take precedence. I think that it's not our job to make policy or, frankly, to comment on policy.
But it is our job to question
policy.
No question
about
that. And this was everybody in the media said this wouldn't happen again. We screwed up on Iraq. We got sucked up in a rush to war. And I'm not saying this is necessarily a bad decision. Gaddafi is an odious fellow.
Yeah.
But I think we need to be doing more challenging.
Well, the key issue, I think, is I think the media is exhausted. Frankly, in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, with what happened starting in Cairo, over to Japan, now back to Libya, I think there's an exhaustion going on, and not enough questions have been asked.
But not too exhausted to be on the air 24 hours a day.
But shallow coverage. in fact, shallow coverage. You know, we didn't pay enough attention to John Brennan, the president's counterterrorism chief this week, when he said, and he was reluctant to advise the president to go to war here. Brennan said this week, we don't know who these rebels are. We don't know what we're getting.
This is not heavy lifting. I mean, you know, Howie, I think you're exactly right. I mean, there's this tendency in the initial stages to debate whether it's 110 or 112 cruise missiles. But the real questions that were sort of absent from a lot of the coverage was, what is this no-fly zone expected to accomplish? Is it too little, too late? How do you have a no-fly zone when you really have to protect rebels on the ground? You know, you heard the Pentagon has been very reluctant about this all along, from the Secretary Gates to Admiral Mullen, and you've heard them talk about how limited this action is. The military is loath to commit to a goal that can't be accomplished through military means, and clearly they believe that there's a goal here that can't be accomplished through military
and
means.
And the question that hangs over all of this is the United States, with very little debate except about the tactics of this no-fly zone, being sucked into a third war?
But there's another dimension to it, too. It's not just whether it will work in Libya or whether it's the right thing to do in Libya. But you look at Yemen and you look at Bahrain, and it's a very natural and sensible and necessary question to say, okay, so why there and not there? What are the dimensions that make this different from that? So there's operational questions that have to be asked, but there are also questions of parity and why intervention in one place where civilians are being killed is okay and not in another where civilians are being killed. As recently as Friday in Yemen, I mean, there was a massacre.
Sure. On Democracy Now!, host Juan Cole talked to Ralph Nader, who's adamantly opposed to any of our involvement in Libya.
Participating in a protest on the 8th anniversary of the Iraq invasion. Ralph Nader, in the American consciousness, because of lack of media coverage, most people are almost forgotten. Certainly Iraq, if not Afghanistan as well. It receives little attention. The importance of this protest?
It's important because the Veterans for Peace, which start with World War II veterans all the way to the present Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, are making a powerful statement for the rule of law, for advocating peace, for getting out of Afghanistan and Iraq. If you took a poll of the soldiers in Afghanistan, as a poll was taken in Iraq in January 2005, the majority would say, let's get out of here. It's a quagmire. All we're doing are creating new enemies, slaughtering innocents, spending huge amounts of money that can be spent back home to create jobs, and violating our constitutional processes. You know, let's be very forthright, Juan. George W. Bush and Cheney committed war crimes. They had surveillance of Americans illegally. They unconstitutionally pursued wars in Asia. They slaughtered innocents, and they were considered war criminals by many people, including Republican former Judge Andrew Napolitano, author of four books on the Constitution, and Republican Bruce Fein. Now, Barack Obama is committing the same crimes, in fact, worse ones in Afghanistan. And innocents are being slaughtered. We're creating more enemies. He's violating international law. He is not constitutionally authorized to do what he's doing. He's using state secrets. He's engaging in illegal surveillance. The CIA is running wild without any kind of circumscribed legal standards or disclosure.
We have just
and
a
so
few
why
seconds.
Why don't we say what's on the minds of many legal experts, that the Obama administration is committing war crimes, and if Bush should have been impeached, Obama should be impeached.
Coming up, more on the countdown. The international no-fly zone is our focus when the Talk Radio Countdown show moves along.
Rambling.
just one of 11 great songs from their album Under the Sun, available on iTunes and at Ravelin.com. R-A-V-E-L-Y-N, Ravelin.com.
Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen, talking about what the folks on talk radio and talk television are focused on, and that includes the no-fly zone. Here, host Jack Ricciardi talked to Congressman Henry Keller of Texas about the many members of Congress who are not happy with the president and his decision to get involved in Libya.
Listen, some of your colleagues seem pretty angry. I was reading about a conference call that took place led by Congressman John Larson, who's the fourth highest-ranking Democrat in the House. And people like Congressman Larson, Jerry Nadler of New York, Mike Capuano of Massachusetts, Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, are saying that the president's actions in Libya are unconstitutional. Kucinich going so far as to say, if we were willing to impeach George W. Bush over Iraq, we should be willing to impeach Barack Obama over Libya. What is your reaction to that kind of talk?
Well, you know, certainly there are some folks that feel very strongly about it. They're concerned about the fact that we're already in two wars. We're in Iraq. We're in Afghanistan. Billions of dollars that we spend every month. We're also going into Japan to help with the relief effort there. There's calls also to make sure that our National Guard remain at the border, the U.S.-Mexico border. So we're stretched pretty thin, not only by the by the military, but I'm talking about also the monies that we spend. I've always said that we got to have a direct vital interest before we commit ourselves. I'm glad that the president is not going to be sending any of the ground troops over there. I hope we don't get drawn into it. And there's some folks that feel that we shouldn't even be involved in Libya at all.
What do you think? What's your take on it?
Wait, my thing is, the way the president's doing this, I think this is the right approach. We just have to be very, very careful that we don't get drawn into a long-term situation.
Well, let me ask you, Congressman.
Already spent too much money.
The president consulted the Arab League and the United Nations, but did not consult the Congress. What about that?
Well, I think, certainly, as you know, the commander-in-chief, they have certain things they can do, but then under the War Act, certainly the Congress, should be involved a little bit more. And I can tell you that if we are going to be the one that will be doing the appropriations, I think he'll be talking to us pretty soon.
Here is John, a caller in Atlanta, who thinks this is not about humanitarian aid at all. It's about OIL.
It's clearly about all. The U.S. know if they can get Obama out of there and those rebels get in there, they have no idea how to run no country. And they know that. And they can come in and take total control of that all. Let me ask the question. if during the Civil Rights Movement, when the U.S. government was beating these demonstrators across the head, and some country came in and said, we going to send troops in there to stop them from doing this, what you think the U.S. would have done? They would have went in there and destroyed that Gaddafi to be able to set up to defend his country. Why don't they interview the people who are fighting for Libya? The only thing they show is Gaddafi, and I don't know if they're giving a fair assessment of what he's saying. The U.S. is in there for the oil and strictly. And why don't these countries that they be talking about genocide, that was they stopping humanitarian reason, why didn't they go in there and defend those countries where the people, but they didn't have no oil? So they let those people genocide take place. Why didn't they go in there and stop them?
Here are some more talk radio callers who don't think that we ought to be involved in Libya.
I suspect that we're going to be involved in Africa all over the place. No good news for taxpayers.
So I think that it's a shame that we are spending the taxpayers' money over there doing what they're doing in the Middle East. I think that the main concern is that they're attacking the middle class here in the United States, and I think that's more important than what they're doing over in Libya.
Here's another undeclared war that we're stuck in here, and, you know, I'm just outraged. Sick and tired of our government. Every time we turn around, they're meddling in the rest of the world.
Coming up, more hosts and callers weighing in. Your info on Gaddafi, the no-fly zone at Libya, as the Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
In today's economic climate, retirement planning has become essential. Contributing to an individual retirement account, or IRA, is vital to Americans' future financial health. While financial advisors recommend that people open and contribute to IRAs as early as possible, it's never too late to begin. If you're not sure where to start, the AAA Deposit Program recommends that the first thing you need to do is decide what kind of IRA you'd like to open. One type of IRA, the Roth IRA, is funded through after-tax income. Anyone can open one as long as their income falls below the maximum specified by the IRS. You can withdraw your contributions to a Roth IRA at any time, but to withdraw earnings tax-free, you must be at least 59 and a half years old and have held the account for at least 5 years. For information about AAA's deposit program, visit AAA.com/deposits or call 1-888-728-3230. That's 1-888-728-3230.
At Better Oats Oatmeal, we asked ourselves, how can we make the world better? Skybikes that run on hydrogen? The world's biggest snow cone? Or we could just offer the world better oatmeal. So we got to work. We made instant oatmeal infinitely more awesome. Say hello to Better Oats brand oatmeal with 100% whole grain oats plus real fruit and flax. It's hearty, tasty, and comes in 28 varieties like dark chocolate and chai spiced. It's simply better, and we guarantee it. If you don't think so, we'll give you your money back. Go to BetterOats.com for more information and to find a store near you.
You know, I'm always on the go, and the Cirrus Automotive Center lets me schedule vehicle maintenance around my life. Their daily, extended, and weekend business hours, even on Sunday, makes car care more convenient and way less stressful.
Through March 26th, buy three of our best-selling Goodyear tires and get one free. Plus, save up to an additional $80 after mail-in rebate with a purchase of four. And go to SearsAuto.com to get other great offers, including a coupon for a conventional Valvoline oil change for only $21.99 with no shop fees. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Daddy, I'm hungry.
That little girl will get fed, for now. But what if people like Glenn Beck are right about the threats we face? If the U.S. dollar loses its status as the global reserve currency, prices on the things you need most will skyrocket. Food may be unaffordable, or worse, unavailable. Earthquakes, economic turmoil, continuing unemployment, rampant inflation, and even threats of terrorism are all reasons to let the experts at Ready Reserve Foods help you with a long-term food storage plan. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storage foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available worldwide. Their products have a shelf life of 25 years, and a year's supply of quality food for two people only takes up about as much space as a refrigerator for a fraction of what you now pay at the grocery store. You owe it to your family to find out more from Ready Reserve Foods. Call today for their free full-color catalog at 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Never buy home canning jar lids again.
No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
There's a man named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and a naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs leading to side effects. This is clearly a deadly recipe. The good news is Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I want you to join our InfoWars team. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen. Welcome back to the Talk Radio Countdown Show, your way to find out what's going on in the talk business, radio and television, left and right. Libya is our focus. After a lot of back and forth and a lot of speculation, the U.S. joined several European countries to establish that no-fly zone. In Alabama, talk host Matt Murphy here with retired Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, asking for his assessment of the situation in Libya.
Give us an assessment, if you will, an overview of exactly what is going on with regards to Libya and what is the American involvement in it.
Well, I think we've been snookered. The fact is we are carrying the load of this so-called coalition, which is starting to evaporate quickly. And of the 125 cruise missiles that were fired over the weekend, 123 are ours. The French flew 20 sorties in there. The Brits flew four, I think. And what I'm concerned about is not can we do this militarily, Matt. We can do this. What I'm concerned is what happens in the end game? Who takes over? When the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff can't tell you on the radio talk shows on Sunday who is going to take over, but they're going to do it in a few days. I look at the British and the French. They can't run it by themselves. They couldn't last a week. And so I think the burden is going to come back on us. The Arab League chairman, Mustafa, who voted for it, put us in it, and now they're starting to back out. The Arab League's representation, which we need vitally, is Qatar with six airplanes. Please, where are Egypt and Saudi Arabia, the two strongest Muslim nations? And so that's what's bothering me. I think that Sarkozy snookered Hillary, and Hillary snookered the president, and the end game is what concerns me. We've seen this movie before, the Iraq and Afghanistan, which I strongly supported and still do. The fact is what's the end game? If we break the Pottery Barn, then we've got to rebuild it, and that'll cost us $20 or $30 billion. We don't want to be here. There are no national interests that I have been able to see that get us in this involved with the civil war.
In trying to figure this out over the weekend, Lieutenant General, with my limited amount of understanding of how to accomplish an operation such as this. I was reminded of the line from the famous Shakespearean play Macbeth, "The lady doth protest too much, methinks." With the administration, Defense Secretary Robert Gates and the president himself, as well as other underlings of the president of the United States, wanting to almost try to convince the American people and the world that this is not an American-led operation. We're just one of the members of the coalition, just one of the members of the coalition. And I hear you saying, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, that without American presence here, the mission would not be successful. Why do you think it is that America is so insistent to announce to the world that this is not a coalition of our doing, we're just a player in it?
Well, it befuddles me. I don't know why we even discuss it that way when we're running the show right now. And why we're trying to, quote, to be appear as part of a coalition of the willing. And 2 weeks ago, the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and all the chiefs were violently opposed to this. Now what has changed from Wednesday to Thursday? So that's what's concerning me. You're asking the right questions. I think Americans have the right to say, what is the end game? We have seen this movie before. We can no longer afford to try to rebuild Libya as much as we can even try to rebuild Afghanistan or Iraq. Lord knows, as I say, we put enough money in there, and then what are we getting? Very shaky democracy.
From, General McInerney, we go to Colorado and host Peter Boyles here with it's kind of an interesting discussion about the growing number of Democrats who are angry at the president. And the fact that he went to the U.N. and bypassed Congress doesn't make him very happy either.
The interesting part of this weekend is the president asked no one. He just did it. And the question now comes, where's the Constitution? The War Powers Act defines precisely what's required for military action. And the president launched 118 Tomahawks and dropped 40 bombs in Libya without consulting. And the rap seems to be the president went to the U.N., for approval, and not for approval in the Congress, which has angered, interestingly enough, some Democrats. There are Democrats, a hardcore group of libs, are questioning the constitutionality of U.S. missile strikes against Libya. And there's a caucus conference call on Saturday, and there are some upset people. They are questioning. These are Democrats, Congress people, and asking the question, look, they had never been formally consulted for the attack and expressed concern that would lead a third U.S. war in the Muslim world. I feel exactly the same way. Why and how? Now, what's the end game?
Coming up next on the countdown, an interesting conversation with a man who attempted to target Gaddafi under President Reagan. That we'll talk about as the Talk Radio Countdown Review continues.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise? Yep.
Be like the 4 million who switched to Geico last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you have dark circles and under-eye bags, we have some exciting news. We want to celebrate selling our millionth jar of Hydralyze Advanced Under-Eye Cream, and we're giving away as many risk-free trials as we can in the next 24 hours. To take part in our Million Jar celebration, call 1-800-754-6806 in the next 24 hours to find out how you can try Hydralyze free for 30 days. The clinically proven ingredients in Hydralyze visibly erase dark circles and under-eye bags, whether they're due to stress, aging, fatigue, even your diet. It works so well, we've sold 1 million jars. Now we want to celebrate by letting you try it absolutely risk-free. All celebrations have to come to an end, so this radio offer will not last forever. If you suffer from dark under-eye circles and bags, this is your chance to visibly erase them risk-free. Call now for your risk-free trial of Hydralyze. If lines are busy, call again. That's 1-800-754-6806. 1-800-754-6806.
At Better Oats Oatmeal, we asked ourselves, how can we make the world better? Sky bikes that run on hydrogen? The world's biggest snow cone? Or we could just offer the world better oatmeal. So we got to work. We made instant oatmeal infinitely more awesome. Say hello to Better Oats brand oatmeal with 100% whole grain oats plus real fruit and flax. It's hearty, tasty, and comes in 28 varieties like dark chocolate and chai spiced. It's simply better, and we guarantee it. If you don't think so, we'll give you your money back. Go to BetterOats.com for more information and to find a store near you.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
This weekend at Ace,
the weekend is coming!
You can get your entire purchase free and you're guaranteed to save when you pick up a scratch and save card. Get saving, then get your weekend back at Ace, the helpful place.
No purchase required to obtain card and reveal discount. Offer only valid March 26th and 27th at time customer presents merchandise to cashier. Applies only to regular prices of in-stock merchandise. Limit one scratch card per person per day. Additional conditions and exclusions apply.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
See participating Ace stores for details.
Spring is finally here, so hurry into the PetSmart Everything Spring Sale. You'll save up to 25% on over 1,000 items when you use your PetPerks card. Save $3 on select varieties of ProPlan Shredded Blends dog food in 34 and 35-pound bags. Save $10 on all 6 packs of new flea and tick products from Advantage 2 and Canine Advantage 2. And select Tetra Fish are $1 each. Right now, only at PetSmart. We love to see healthy, happy pets. While supplies last, sale ends March 27th.
I'm Bruce Johnson with Kmart. We're a proud supporter of March of Dimes, March for Babies. This is an easy decision for Kmart. We want to help moms have healthy pregnancies and, in the process, save babies' lives. We've participated with March of Dimes for the past 28 years and will continue to help fight premature birth and birth defects. Join the 20,000 companies, including Kmart, who are walking together for stronger, healthier babies. Start your team at marchforbabies.org.
Talk Radio Countdown Show continuing. Doug Steffen here with the talk host Pat Campbell. Here he has Patrick Lang, who was the pilot of a plane targeting Gaddafi back in 1986. President Reagan sent him over there, and he thinks that our government isn't being very honest about why we are really in Libya.
What is America's goal in Libya? Now, I did have an earlier caller say, you know, enforcing the no-fly zone. I contend the denial of airspace is a strategy. It's not an outcome. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, that's right. It's a method, and it's people are not being very honest, including the U.S. government, about our goal in Libya. In order to get the resolution through the U.N., we rolled it up in the terms of humanitarian protection of people. But our real goal is to get rid of Gaddafi's government and see a government installed that we think would be a more just, more liberal, more open government. And it has nothing to do with oil, because Gaddafi sold plenty of oil at the market price.
So it's regime change we're after.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you can say whatever you like, but that's really what we're really after in the end. And so the no-fly zone, which is really not just a no-fly zone, because we've been conducting airstrikes up and down the country against his ground forces to soften them up for the rebels. So that's a lot more than a no-fly zone. And eventually there will have to be – the rebels are going to have to advance on Tripoli. We'll have to wait and see if they do that.
Okay. Why is it that his – and when I say his, I'm talking about Barack Obama's – his own people are all over the place. You know, you've got Admiral Mullen speaking yesterday, talking about this no-fly zone. It's to protect civilians and provide for humanitarian support. And they talked about, you know, Gaddafi's troops withdrawing to their garrisons. It was almost like Gulf War One with, you know, just get Saddam Hussein self-contained again. If he just gets his, you know, vehicles back safely parked in their motor pools, yeah, then we're going to declare victory and sail away once again from the shores of Tripoli.
Yeah, he actually said at one point, we want them to withdraw to their barracks. Well, that isn't really our goal. In fact, Obama's administration is badly divided over this. On the one hand, you have, interestingly enough, several women, Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, the U.N. ambassador, and Samantha Power in the UNSC, who in the National Security Council, who very much want to see Gaddafi gone for the reasons I said. And then you got all the other guys, the boys on the other side. You got Gates, You got Donilon and McDonough, the political guys in the White House, and Admiral Mullen as well, who really don't want to do this. They know are dragging their feet. So Mullen is expressing this professionally, but still in such a way that says to minimize the mission, because he's really not going to want to do it.
Here, Campbell talks to Lang about targeting Gaddafi.
With your military experience, and correct me if I'm wrong here, were you involved in the initial bombing in 86, is that correct?
Yeah, I was in charge of the targeting for that.
Okay, well, how did you go about picking targets? And the question my producer wanted me to ask you, too, did Reagan not attempt to target Gaddafi?
He didn't have anything to do with it, really. He just told us to retaliate against the Libyan government for various things they'd done, including the bombing of that discotheque in Berlin, in which several GIs were killed. So we picked a bunch of retaliatory targets is what they were, really. And we picked some around Benghazi, and we picked some around Tripoli. And there was a tremendous argument about what to pick between military intelligence and CIA. But, and I remember this struggle very well. In the end, we decided that we were going to, in fact, try to kill him. And we won, and I'm talking about the military. And so I remember we decided we were going to bomb the tent that he normally slept in that same compound that got hit yesterday. Unfortunately, the pilot missed the tent and hit a building in there. You know, they don't always hit things exactly rightly. They're like all other human beings.
So Gaddafi was targeted back in 86.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know very well that he was.
Interestingly enough, here's General Carter Hamm, head of the U.S. AFRICOM group, talking about the tactical reasons for targeting Gaddafi.
This is a large compound, maybe 500 or 700 meters by 1,000 or more meters. A pretty big place with lots of different buildings and facilities inside of this compound. There are some air defense systems on the perimeter. There's security. There's housing. There's normal things, you know, mess kind of facilities. And there's also a command and control facility that we are certain is a command and control facility. And we have multiple means that tell us that. And that's the facility that was attacked. And again, we do so with tremendous precision. We do so with that particular target was decided upon because that degrading that command and control facility would degrade the regime's ability to control its military forces in the attack of civilians.
Here are some more callers weighing in on Gaddafi, the no-fly zone, and Libya.
You can't have it both ways. We want to say, well, he ought to do something about this. How can he let this go on? How can he let the people be killed? And then on the other hand, the same people are saying, he don't need to do this. So now which is it?
We're becoming a super debtor, not a superpower. And we're in over 140 countries with our military. And I think this country is ripe for a selfless, if there is such a thing, that's an important word, selfless, highly nationalistic presidential candidate. We have to stop exercising our excessive compassion, pathological compassion. We cannot do everything for all people.
I think we're doing the right thing. I think Obama's doing the right thing. I think people need to get off his back and let him do his job. I used to admire Gaddafi, but when he turned his guns on his own people, he's out.
Well, whether or not it's right or wrong or indifferent, the fact is it's costing everybody a lot of money over there, and it's really simple. If we're helping these countries over there, just charge them oil for our services. And I think Iraq loses a bunch of money, and Libya should too.
Here we go again, doggone it. You know, I hope it works out, that it's not forever. But, you know, what we really need to do is to develop the oil in our country so that we can kind of say goodbye to that whole Middle East and African oil.
You know, I'm amazed that we kind of marked the U.S., our leaders. Hillary Clinton is the most absurd to mark the invasion of Iraq, the illegal and immoral invasion of Iraq 8 years ago. with this. I mean, it's of course, it's good that we went with a coalition of the willing again, and that it was, you know, voted legal by the UN. But on the other hand, you know, we haven't even counted the dead in Iraq.
Well, to my knowledge, I believe we're still the most powerful nation on the planet. And I look at it as if we were Libya and the same thing were happening to us, we would want someone to take care of us. And I guess we're like the lifeguard. We're always going out there and help folks. And I have no problem with that.
Coming up, we'll shift the focus to Japan on the next part of the Talk Radio Countdown show.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Back up.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen. Here is the focus on Japan that you may have been waiting for, the recovery efforts going on, etc. Here we have, from Charlie Parker and Charity McCurdy's radio program, a conversation with Alistair Wanklin in Tokyo, a reporter for Fox.
Let's start with the latest on the nuclear complex, so to speak, in Fukushima Daiichi.
Yeah, Charlie, it's still bad news, I'm afraid. There's big smoke coming out of one of the reactor buildings where we know there are storage fuel rods which have been overheating in recent days. There's also a report of smoke coming from a second reactor as well, worrying we just don't know the full extent of this tragedy. Some Japanese people saying also they doubt the official version of events. Obviously, the government here wants to avoid panic. But right now, some people are coming to the conclusion that they're not being told the full truth about this.
And Alistair, what's being done to ease fears over food and water contamination?
Yeah, I mean, that's tap water in Tokyo and elsewhere, which is now found to have both radioactive iodine, and cesium. Both are potentially hazardous to human health, but they're in very low quantities, officials say. The government's saying it's far below regulated limits, and so you can carry on drinking the water here. It's not enough to calm fears. There's a run on bottled water in the stores, and we're hearing in the past hour or so the State Department is to release potassium iodide tablets to its staff and their families here in Japan. That's a chemical which can help the body resist absorbing the dangerous form of radioactive iodine.
And as we look at what's going on now, and certainly to get worse at least to some degree, World Bank has announced now 5-year minimum for Japan to rebuild, and it's already at, what, $235 billion in damage?
Yeah, what a cost. I mean, you can see this coming from everywhere. Today, for example, we're hearing of food importers elsewhere in Asia boycotting Japanese fresh goods. Predictably, car makers are not turning out a whole lot of cars right now because they can't get the parts, they can't get the power for their machines even. Computer chip makers, they're all involved. So there's an enormous knock, you know, hit to Japan's economy here, which I guess if people are predicting $250 billion cost, then, yeah, it may well come to that in years ahead.
Our old friend Bob DelGiorno talking to CBS's Lucy Kraft about the latest problem in Japan.
Food contamination continues to spread. Let's get an update. Our CBS correspondent in Tokyo, Japan, Lucy Kraft, good morning. Give us the latest.
Well, the food contamination scare is the story of the day. Over the last few days, officials have discovered trace amounts of radiation, abnormally high levels, particularly in spinach and in raw milk from the state where the nuclear reactor is housed in Fukushima and three other states that are nearby. So this, of course, has caused great concern, and the government moved today to ban shipments of spinach from four states and milk from the area near the reactor, Fukushima.
So most of these signs are on, what, agricultural produce and also in livestock, because you got the traces in the milk.
Yeah, milk from one state. It's still very limited, mind you. It's mm-hmm. milk from one state, spinach from four, and there's one or two other vegetables that are involved in this. But they're trying to get a handle on the situation because, as you may know, if you find radiation in one part of the state, that doesn't mean the other part of the state or other towns may have the same problem. The rates vary greatly. That's the first point. The second point is that the further you get away from the plant, obviously there's less radiation, and then also if there are no more emissions, the levels of the radiation will decline over time, we're told by an expert. So the situation is very much in flux right now.
Now, do they have any of these reactors that are actually venting more radioactive gases than others? Are they making any progress there?
Yeah, I mean, it's very slow going. It's going in fits and starts. We had some progress over the weekend. Today, though, we had an unexplained occurrence. Some smoke was seen, the grayish smoke was seen coming out of some of the reactors. We're not quite sure what the reason for that was, but it seems to have stopped now. It took a couple of hours. So, you know, this is a very difficult, dangerous, unprecedented process, and we're very much not out of the woods yet.
Talking with Lucy Kraft, our CBS correspondent in Tokyo. Lucy, are they getting any closer to bringing that reactor under control, those reactors?
Well, as I say, they've gotten electricity hooked up. They have mm-hmm. what's been called the world's longest extension cable. They've hooked up outside power to all six of the reactors. All six have been hooked up now. But the question is, you know, the equipment was so badly damaged in the tsunami. Is the equipment intact enough to get it running again, get the ventilation systems up and running, get the cooling systems running? That's really critical, and we still don't have an answer to that yet.
But would you say things aren't getting any worse? They're getting
right.
some results here with all the
right.
thing that's going on.
Right, but it's very slow going, and there's still a lot of crooks in the road, and, you know, there's still one of the options is the Chernobyl solution, which is to cover the worst hit reactor, the most dangerous one, number three, in cement, which is what they did with Chernobyl, but that's not a perfect solution either. So we're still in the middle of this crisis.
You can find out all about these items on the Countdown by visiting the Talk Radio Countdown Show section at DougStephan.com.